There are hundreds of humanitarian relief organizations operating around the globe. All are working to help communities cope with a variety of issues, including AIDS, extreme poverty, and ethnic violence. And increasingly, humanitarian aid workers are caught in the crosshairs of global conflicts. Kidnapping, rape, and even murder are now everyday threats for aid workers. Former U.S. National Security Advisor Anthony Lake says these workers need more protection and greater recognition for their sacrifices. Common Ground's Cliff Brockman recently talked with Lake.
The nature of conflict today, which more and more is internal civil conflict, which goes beyond sometimes simply affecting civilian populations to seeing actual targeting of civilian populations. And that means that the international humanitarian workers are both more needed because there's more civilian suffering in these conflicts, but also it's more dangerous because increasingly they are on the ground witnessing these terrible atrocities, and the thugs who are committing them want to get rid of the witnesses and therefore go after the humanitarian workers.
What types of attacks or incidents are we talking about?
Often simple murder, simply targeting people. We've seen it in eastern Congo, other places where the thugs thought that the humanitarian workers would go and tell the wider world about what they had done. Sometimes for specific purposes, they will hold them hostage or kidnap them, which we've seen from Chechnya again to a number of African situations and elsewhere. We saw in northern Afghanistan recently the rape of a UN worker, which may have been simply a rape. It may have been some sort of statement, terrorizing action. And then beyond all of that, there is simply criminal activity because these are the tough neighborhoods of the world. And there are the usual assortment of murderers and thieves there.
There are international laws to protect these workers?
Under the UN Charter, UN personnel are supposed to be offered certain protections. There is an international convention on the protection of UN workers that was passed in 1994, came into force in, I believe, 1999. And under that convention, a government on whose territory one of these incidents take place either is bound to extradite the miscreants or to prosecute them there. But as of a couple of years ago, only 30-some nations had subscribed to the convention. And in any case, the problem is not the existence of the laws. The problem is in implementing them. In the end, the UN cannot implement it. It has to be the governments, and governments just don't pay attention.
What should we do to encourage these nations then to implement these laws, the ones that haven't implemented them?
Well, I would hope that, first of all, this would simply become more of an issue because it receives very little public attention, and it needs much more of it to build any kind of political momentum for doing more. Frankly, I think one of the reasons why it doesn't receive more attention is the fault of the humanitarian workers themselves, and I admire them for this. Part of the ethos of doing this is you don't call attention to yourself. You do it because you're driven to do it, and the hell with the risks. I did an op-ed piece on this in the New York Times, and the letters from humanitarian workers were in a sense negative about the column in the sense that many of them argued that the column should have been about the civilians who were suffering in these conflicts rather than the workers themselves. Good for them believing that. And yes, they're right. Millions of civilians are suffering from these conflicts around the world. But the result of this attitude of, oh, shucks, I don't want to call attention to myself, is that it doesn't get much attention.
You've proposed a memorial to honor humanitarian aid workers who've died in the line of duty. Tell us about that.
Well, when I was National Security Advisor, I was always very moved when I would go to Arlington National Cemetery when we were burying one of our own who had died abroad. And when I was in Geneva doing some work with the ICRC, International Committee of the Red Cross, during a break I wandered around their grounds and discovered a small memorial garden that they have dedicated to their own people who are at great risk because the ICRC, even more than most UN workers, are really in harm's way working during wars with the victims. And it struck me that there is not such a memorial at the United Nations for the hundreds of UN workers who have been killed, who are every day doing this heroic work in these very, very bad areas. So I decided one thing I could do would be to write an article. The good news is that, in fact, work is underway now in planning such a memorial, not because of my article.
Is there enough funding for this memorial?
I think there's probably enough funding for the memorial. I hope so. And if not, I think it's such a good idea that there will be. What there is not enough funding for is the UN's efforts to protect its workers. It's really an outrage. There is an office at the UN that works on security issues. Its personnel has gone from something like 8 to about 12 or 15 people who are charged with the security of 70,000 to 80,000 UN personnel. They have less security people abroad than there are high-risk posts. They began opened a fund a few years ago to try to get additional money beyond their usual UN budget to help to fund security efforts on behalf of UN personnel. And a very small number of governments have pledged to make contributions, and those contributions are quite minimal. So there's a lot more to be done there. I know that the Secretary General is very concerned about this. The Deputy Secretary General, Louise Flechette, has a group that is working on this problem. But like all problems, in the end, you solve them not just through good plans and policies, but through resources. And they're very severely limited now.
Anthony Lake is the former U.S. National Security Advisor. He spoke with our Cliff Brockman in Washington.